Ooh, hello, the internet.
So, internet, what are you wearing?
We're 5 minutes late, by the way.
Yes, we are. We have to go over by 5 minutes.
We'll have to give everyone their, like a, do we have an SLA? I don't know.
100% refund.
Or we'll give them some free crazy breads.
Ooh.
Everyone gets free crazy breads.
Did you see the, who is it that's making the pizza with the bacon and cheese crust in the crust?
Isn't it Pizza Hut?
It may be. Yeah, I think it is Pizza Hut.
Ooh, they'll fuck that up.
worst pizza I ever had was Pizza Hut in Erie, Pennsylvania. Holy fuck, that was bad.
The last time I had Pizza Hut, I forget which town it was. It was just outside of Scranton. We were on our way. We were on our way back.
Well, that's from, the first mistake.
We were on our way back from Williamsburg, and we stopped at the hospitality center in Pennsylvania as soon as we crossed the border, and found a hotel that there was a coupon for, and just went, okay, cool, we'll stay at this one. And as we were driving in, we kept like seeing like different, you know, fast food chains and all that. Of like, oh, we can stop here. Oh, we can stop here. And finally, there was a Pizza Hut in the parking lot of this place. And we just went, eh, screw it. Let's go to Pizza Hut. It's easy. It's easier than trying to figure out where the heck all those other places were, because it was like seriously industrialized. So it was like all like double lane, divided highway everywhere. And so we just went, yeah, let's just go to Pizza Hut. It'll be easier. That was the last time I ate at Pizza Hut, and hopefully that's the last time I ate at Pizza Hut. I used to eat there all the time as a kid.
Yeah, I did. Well, it was the only thing there was.
No, we had
in Texas.
We had good pizza. We had good pizza places in Portland.
We had like a Pizza Inn.
What's Pizza Inn?
It's a pizza place. Pizza Inn. Inn.
Is that sexual?
Yes.
Like yes. pizza in the butt?
Actually, Pizza Inn used to be some of the best pizza because it was about the only place you could get a really good thin crust.
Do you have Greek pizza?
No. What's Greek pizza?
Greek people don't live in Texas, weird. That's crazy talk.
Actually, there are some Greek people in Texas. Anyway.
Yes, they live everywhere.
Let's do this.
It is Wednesday, October 75th, episode 570.
It is Thursday, September 4th, 2014. This is episode 120, an auspicious episode. Truly auspicious.
You mean those hawks that only eat the fish?
No, that's an osprey. Isn't that an osprey?
Yeah, it's an osprey episode?
No.
What'd you say?
If for those of you that may remember, there used to be another podcast that some of us did called Vicious Circle. And
Vicious Circle Report?
Vicious Circle. The last episode of Vicious Circle was episode 120. So we are now
on borrowed time.
We are now treading new episode ground after this. Unless we all get mad at each other and rage quit after this one.
Yeah, Alan's going to rage quit.
Brita will be here. She's just running late. She was working.
She's on assignment.
She was on assignment at the library. Until.
She's doing all sorts of referencing.
Right. Our call-in topic, if you wish to call in, and I know you do, because who wouldn't want to call in? What did you plan on getting done, or what did you intend to do this summer that you didn't get done? it's like a reverse New Year's resolution, you know,
or like a New Year's resolution because
nobody does those either.
Because if you're I don't make a New Year's resolution that way. I have good years instead of like people. Oh, I'm gonna do this. Yeah, you know you're not. You're saying this at like, you know, midnight and you're drunk.
After 11-3 beers.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't think of anything that I intended to do this summer that I didn't get done other than, well.
I thought I might relax.
I intended to win the lottery, but that would necessitate me buying a ticket, which I never do. So,
well, your odds aren't that much worse.
No, they're not. And I'm actually ahead because I have the money that I would have otherwise spent on a lottery ticket.
We talk about this at work all the time. All the people that you hear about. Well, we've got one guy who's from Connecticut, and so he frequently uses Foxwoods for various ill-gotten means, such as he doesn't have a car, so he uses the free Foxwoods bus to go down and see his family. So he'll take the bus to Foxwoods where they'll bus him for free. And
what's
then
Foxwoods?
It's a big casino.
Oh, okay.
Connecticut.
And he just talks about, like, when he's riding the bus, he'll hear all these people talking about how huge they won. But he's like, yeah, but you're on the bus. So,
yeah. Well, it's funny that you mentioned Foxwoods. A couple jobs ago, I worked in a factory. And, you know, we had the chemistry side of things. And we had the guys that were packaging stuff up. And I just bought a new truck. So the usual, you know, oh, must be nice. I wish I could afford that, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, at lunch, they're talking about, oh, I went down to Foxwoods. Yeah, I lost $500 this weekend. Ha, ha, ha. And I'm like, you lost more than my fucking car payment.
Yep.
You know, you pissed, literally, almost literally pissed away a car payment.
To be fair, if they lost $500, they were getting comp drinks. So, yes, they indeed pissed away.
They probably did piss it away.
They converted $500 into $500 worth of watered down piss.
Yep.
Yeah. It's just, you know, the whole priorities.
Yeah. But then, you, like, I remember at one point I was in band camp. And one of the guys, his job was he worked in a gas station in town. And so when business was slow, he'd buy a few scratch tickets because he was bored. And, like, one day he was like, oh man, I won like I can't remember if it was like $1,000. It was a decent amount of money. It was like $1,000 or $2,000, or I think it was $1,000. And he's just like, I won $1,000 in a scratch ticket today. And I said, oh, that's cool. How much do you, since he's getting work, I'm like, do you pay for it? Or are you stealing those scratch tickets? And he's like, no, I have to pay for them. And I went, oh, how much do you blow on scratch tickets? And he starts going, oh, never really thought about that, and doing the math. He goes,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, never mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Derp. That's how lotteries win is, you know, people, yep. You know, that you get that free ticket and you're like, oh, I got a free ticket. Yeah, but you had to blow, like, you know, you had to lose like 7 or 8 tickets before you got that free one. So, no, they're really just kind of stringing you along a little bit.
Well, you got to, you know, it's the, you know, they'll.
The 3-card Monty guys know to let you win a couple of them.
Yeah, exactly right. You win a $4 there and a $2 there, and you know it keeps you on the hook and keeps you playing. I know people that spend, you know, they don't. I don't know anybody that spends like a ton of money on lottery tickets every week, but I know some people that spend, you know, $5 or $10 on it.
Yeah,
and I'm like, you know. Go to the casino and put quarters in a slot machine. Your odds are better.
Yeah. And that's a slot machine.
Yeah, and slot machine's the worst. Next to, like, Keno, I guess. I guess Keno's worse, but that's, you know, damn. You know, and it's like you try to explain the math to these people. 1 in 174 million. And then the answer I always get is, well, somebody's going to win.
Yeah.
Yeah, it ain't going to be you.
I heard one good reason, and it was a guy that, you know, it was the Powerball went up like nuts. And they, you know, they were interviewed. There was a long line of people, and they interviewed this one guy. And he's like, yeah, you know, I'll get 5 tickets, you know, $5 worth of tickets when it's, you know, 100 million. And he said, for $5, I get a chance to dream about what I'd do if I hit it. And I'm like, I can see that,
but he could do it with. But he could do it. He could do it with $1 because having five bucks, 5 tickets doesn't increase your odds. It, measurably.
Yeah, it increases it fivefold, but it goes from 1 in 100 billion to 1 in 20 billion.
Not even that good.
Well, and I do the same thing with whenever we're like on like a cruise ship or something like that, is I'll just say, all right, how much is worth our time to mess around in the casino? And it's one of those, like, we never have any intention of winning any money and all that. It's just one of those, all right, how much are we willing to toss at that for entertainment? You know, or a similar idea is I was taking a class, and one of the teachers of the class was a Texas Hold'em freak. And so she's like, oh, we have a Texas Hold'em party where, you know, everyone, you know, bring your own bottle and, you know, come on over to my house and, you know, we'll supply snacks and we'll play a game of Texas Hold'em and all of that. And it was like, it was nothing. It was like a $20 buy-in and all of that. And one of the people, when she went out, she just started pouting and all that. And I'm like, what are you all fuss face about? And she was like, well, it just sucks that I lost that money. And I said, yeah, well, I just lost the money too. And I'm smile ear to ear. Did you know how to play Texas Hold'em before this? No, neither did I. Now I know how to play. Did you have a good time? Yeah. I had a good time too. Guess what? That's worth more than $20. I've paid $20 to see a piece of shit movie.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Or to drink shitty beer in a bar.
Yeah.
Ugh. Hey, Pabst Blue Ribbon is awesome.
And go home alone. Yeah, that's the way to do it. I went to Atlantic City once when I was working in Philly, and me and the guy I was working with, because they were having, you know, the casinos, they had these specials all the time, and yep. You know, it's like. So we went there, and it was like, and they were doing some like kind of thing where like you play for 30 minutes and get a free t-shirt or something, you know, like the cards and all that kind of stuff. So I was like, cool. Well, I'll sit here and, I'll lose $20 in the slot machine. I'll play the quarter slots and get free drinks, and I'll get a t-shirt from the, you know, okay, fine. And like the third coin I put in, it hit for $500. I was like, all right, I'm done.
Well, that's another thing is, yeah, the people that know that they're like, okay, I'm putting this money in expecting never to see it again.
Yeah.
And if they win, they go, oh, good. And they walk away with it. Those are the people the casino hates.
Yep.
Yes.
Well, they hated me that day.
Because they know they probably didn't really hate you, because for every Alan out there, there's 100 of the people that Jay and I used to, you know, Jay and I have worked with, who just like, right, will just throw money down the toilet. But even better is the liars. I met at least 5 different guys out on the fishing boats who would say, oh yeah, I go down to Foxwoods or Mohegan Sun, whatever some of the, you know, the New England, big New England casino resorts are. And yeah, I usually come back up about $1,000 or something like that. I'm like, wait a second. So you'll go down for a weekend and you'll win $1,000. And yet, here you are on the deck of a sticky fishy boat.
I mean, why aren't you gambling for a living, buddy?
Yeah, fishermen make decent bank, but I that's gambling too. You never, you know, yeah. there were definitely days. I mean, I got paid just for being out there, so I knew how much money I was going to get, you know, depending on how many days I was out to sea. These guys, it was all about, you know, how the fish were and what the market was doing and all of that stuff. So there were times where, I mean, I was making, you know, chump change compared to these guys. Like, there was one time where every guy walked away with like 10 grand in his pocket for like, you know, for 10 days at sea. It was, I mean, but that was a rarity. That fishing trip, people were just like, oh, you were on that trip? Oh, that was the trip of legends. You know, but there were times where guys would make really, really, really good bank and all that. And I'm just making, you know, living money. And then there were times where these guys were, you know, just barely able to, you know, barely able to walk away with, you know, a few $100, you know, at the end of the day for, you know, a week and a half of their life, you know, shot away in a crappy fishing boat. So it's one of those like, okay, so you make, every time you go down, according to your story, you make $1,000, and yet you're still out here. Nope.
Yeah, ain't happening.
Yeah, my bullshit alarm is screeching, buddy.
So anyway, that call-in number, 214-530-0036. What did you intend to do this summer that you never got around to doing? Because
relax.
You
know what?
I did a little bit of relaxing this summer. I got to go to the beach a lot with my daughter. That was fun.
Actually, what's nice is tomorrow we're dropping the baby off at the grandparents.
Ooh. Ooh. You're getting, they're taking it and you're getting non-baby time.
Non-baby time.
Oh, this is this the first non-baby time you've had since she showed up?
Non-baby time together.
Ooh, time to work on another one.
Yeah, we'll see about that. She just went up to bed going, ugh, I'm not feeling very good. I'm getting sick. I'm like, great. Great. So again, this might be another failed vacation. This might be another. Well, I was planning on, you know, relaxing, getting some sleep, but instead it's going to be me, you know, playing doctor to mama, not in a good way.
Well, at least you'll, you know, have peace and quiet.
Not if mama's sick.
Hark.
Well.
We'll see. Hopefully she's just overreacting and being a weirdo. She just got over a nasty cold, so I'm hoping her immune system's strong enough to fight this one off. And I intend to sleep as late as I want to, which is probably going to mean my eyes are going to pop open just wide as day at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Of course.
Fucking A.
Hey, we got a caller.
No way.
Yeah, we do. I promise.
Don't take it.
It's a trap.
Area code 352. Hello.
Hey, it's Raddus.
Raddus.
I've heard of that dude.
Did you do something? Did you intend to do something this summer and not get around to it?
Oh yes, yes I did. I intended to go shooting at a private range that's just not even 10 miles away south of me. And so the only problem is that every damn day you wanted to go, it's 90 plus degrees, or it's a thunderstorm, and I didn't intend to carry on a big metal object in a thunderstorm.
Oh, I'll live a little.
Yeah, no, I've done those big shoots in the pouring rain, and yeah, it's not a lot of fun.
I shot an IDPA when you're like in the pouring rain once. That was
what's that?
I shot an IDPA course in the pouring rain once.
Right, because you never know.
That's right.
Is that is that kind of like horse racing in the rain? You never know which horse is going to do better in the mud.
Yeah, it kind of is. Let me tell you, you're really careful in your movement because the last thing you want to do is slip in the mud and oops.
Break that 180.
So, yeah. Well, that's too bad, Raddus. So you didn't shoot it all this summer?
Oh, no. It's just been too damn hot. It's either the bad thing around here is that there's basically nowhere to shoot. It used to be basically all orange groves and the people, old timers around here saying, oh yeah, we just used to go to the orange grove and just shoot. But now it's all houses, which sucks. So I finally find a range and said, oh yeah, I'm just opening it up and nothing's put in yet. You know, there's no manger, no facility or anything, just a berm. And it's like, wow, finally a place that's not a whole, you know, controlled by a whole bunch of range Nazis. You know, don't shoot that fast or don't do that. You know, it's just too damn hot. It's literally too damn hot because it's 90 plus humidity. So.
Oh, well, that sucks.
It does suck.
Yeah, 90 plus humidity, it feels like 100 something. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than coming home from like a 2 hour range session and just being like beat down, exhausted. It's like no, I was just pulling a trigger. Come on, but you're just so dehydrated and so overheated that you're like, oh, I just want to go lay down.
You know, if you're doing it right, shooting really is an incredible workout.
Yeah,
because you got the isometric resistance exercise in your arms because you're doing your grip squeezing and all that kind of stuff. It's actually a workout.
Yeah, no, I get that isometric grip business. I don't even have to go to the range. I might even do it after the show. It helps me go to sleep faster.
It relaxes me. Have a beer.
Well, lessens your risk of prostate cancer.
That's right.
It does lessen your risk of prostate cancer.
Got my plug in.
Well, I'm glad you fixed the show, Alan.
Thank you.
And yeah, Jake, are you wearing a dress right now?
No, I'm not wearing any pants.
Oh. Well, it is the score report, pants free edition.
Come on, Jay. Do you want it? Do you want to talk about it?
Talk about what?
Do you want to get you want to get your plug about
absolutely, absolutely.
Go to your doctor and get a digit.
Woo!
Now you got to explain what the hell it's all about, because there may be one person out there that doesn't know what the hell it is.
That would be Kilted to Kick Cancer, which is now, since August, just last month, its own 501c3 tax-deductible charity. So any and all donations you make directly to Kilted to Kick Cancer, which does not have multi-millionaire founder president.
Yeah, they, like some.
I would say they run on a shoestring, but I don't even think they have a shoestring.
Yeah,
they don't. You can't even afford pants.
Yeah, they got to wear kilts.
You can't even. They only can afford a Shiner Bock. But yeah, we are raising money and awareness for prostate cancer research, which, after lung cancer, is the second most deadly cancer for men. A lot of people don't know.
What about women?
Lung cancer, prostate cancer is not a killer of women. Lung cancer is number one, but they're number one, like McDonald's is the number one fast food chain, i.e. the big race is to see who's number two, because you ain't catching number one. But, so yes, for the month of September, we wear kilts wherever possible, and whenever people ask us and say, why are you wearing a skirt? We explain that, no, it's a kilt, and it's for Kilted to Kick Cancer.
I actually saw the other day when I was walking around the lake, I saw a dude wearing a kilt. He wasn't, I didn't end up walking by him. He was a little bit further away than me, but I saw him and I thought of you and Kelly. And I'm like, I betcha, because he was definitely not like fully tartaned out, so he didn't look like he was in full costume. He looked like he was open carrying his wiener.
I think in a kilt, you're by definition you're supposed to be.
Yes, because if you're wearing underwear, it's a skirt. Right.
There you go. What about those like short things that some women wear under their skirts?
Jay, are you wearing bloomers?
Bloomers. Are you wearing Mike Bloomberg? No.
Oh, that reminds me. Speaking of Bloomberg, did you see the report about Bloomberg kind of sort of giving up the anti-gun thing?
I did not.
Yeah. Crap, where did that go? I saw it on the Facebook, so it must be true.
Well, it would not surprise me.
It's
at all.
It was a Breitbart article, but it was about New York Times. And this is from the New York Times. New York Times reports that Michael Bloomberg is heading back to private business at Bloomberg LP.
Really?
And it's all about how the anti-gun thing has been a complete disaster, and he's kind of given up on it.
Well, when he kept threatening Kroger, going, you know how much money I've got, I'm going to throw this money at your business and drive you out of it. And Kroger goes, fuck off.
They laughed at him, didn't they?
Yeah. And, yep. And people who shop at Kroger are like, good for you. I'm going to spend a little bit more money at you, because telling Bloomberg to fuck off is good advertisement.
Yeah. So it looks like...
To be fair, I mean, people talk about how many gazillions of dollars Bloomberg has, but also, I mean, how many like mansions does this guy have? He's got like a zillion mansions, so his burn rate's pretty good. So it's like when Michael Jackson first was like declared bankruptcy, people are all like, "What are you talking about? He makes so much money. How do you do that? Easy.
You overextend yourself."
Yeah, if you make $100 million this year, you spend $103 million.
Yeah.
And ta-da, bankruptcy.
Yep. Yeah, and a lot of people, you know, they – and you see this especially with professional athletes who have a very short income phase. And they go big, and then – when they're, you know, they get injured or whatever, they retire, and all of a sudden that income's not coming in, and, you know, can't support their
habits.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or lot. Since we're just talking about lottery, that's another thing is if you win the lottery, you are, you know, statistically speaking, you are fucked because everyone's got that, you know, that bucket list of, oh, if I win the lottery, I'm going to get this. So I'm going to get that, you know?
Right.
Oh yeah. You buy the Lamborghini that you always wanted. And, you know, you put an addition on the house and you go on this big vacation and all that. Well, all of a sudden that addition on the house is costing you more in property taxes.
Yep.
And you got to insure the Lamborghini and you got to put gas in the tank of the thing. And, you know, that money adds, it's just like buying, you buy a gun, you know, you buy a $450 Glock and you go, oh, you know, that's not a bad price. Yeah. But if you're going to shoot it, you know,
exactly.
You easily drop $1,000 into that, down the barrel of that gun.
In no time. You know, $1,000 of 9mm these days is not that much.
No, that's exactly it. Yeah. All you got to do is shoot regularly. And if you're not spending three times the amount of your gun's value in ammo, you're really not shooting it. So really it's just a coaster. And so then, you know,
well, you can, you know, there's lots of people that, I mean, there are lots of people. In fact, the vast overwhelming majority of people that buy a gun really never shoot it.
That's true.
They put it in the drawer. They carry it with them. Even if they have a concealed carry license and they carry it with them all the time, most people don't ever go to the range and shoot. Hell, cops don't go to the range and shoot for the most part. They blow their 50 rounds to qualify every year, however many it is. And that's it.
Yep.
You know, and so, I mean, the reality is most people don't shoot. Now, a few people shoot a lot.
Hashtag Caleb Gittings.
I mean, but, you know, when I was doing the couple of years I was doing IDPA regularly, I was shooting at least 500 rounds a week.
That's actually one of the big things that's kept me from doing IDPA. Number one,
it's actually one of the reasons I stopped is because you just unless you get a sponsor, you just or somebody else pays for your ammo, you can't afford it.
And you know what they call when somebody else pays for your ammo? They call that a sponsorship.
I know. Well, I meant like
or sugar mama.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I meant like,
hey, I've got a sugar mama. She don't pay for my ammo.
Well, there you go.
It's because you make your ammo.
But these days, even if you make your ammo, it's fucking expensive. I mean, the days of oh yeah, get a reloader and it's dirt cheap. That's gone.
A if you can find the stuff.
Yeah.
And then B if you can, it's also, I mean, that's one of the big things is, yeah, the ammo is per round cheaper. I mean, even when you factor in the cost of ammo and all that, you know, cost of components going up, it's cheaper. But if you want to get that cheaper cost, you can't just make it like you go to the gun store, buy your 100 rounds of ammo, and then go to the club and shoot it, and then and then rinse and repeat. No. You gotta blow $500-$600 in one spot so you can get your month's supply of ammo in bulk.
Right.
Because buying those little 50 round boxes of bullets is.
You gotta buy the bucket of bullets, and then you gotta buy the case of powder, and then you gotta buy, you know, if you can find them, you know, primers by the thousand.
That was actually one of those things that was shaking my head as I went to my local gun shop to buy, you know, 100 primers just to load up, my next couple of weeks of ammo. And they're out of primers. And there's a store that will sell to people in Massachusetts. And so I went there and I said, oh, okay, I'll buy a couple hundred primers from these people. And then as I was checking out, they threw on the hazmat tax, which was doubled the price of it. So I just went, oh my God. Well, the hazmat tax is the same. So I bought 20,000 primers and was just going, oh God, this is way more money than I was meaning to spend. Well, those 20,000 primers are worth a lot of money now.
Yeah, no kid. We have a caller.
No way.
Yep. Area code 916. Hello. Hello, 916.
I can hear you.
Hello, we can hear you.
Okay. I figured it was going to be a slow night for you guys. Football games on and stuff.
Ah, all right.
What's this football that you speak of?
Yeah.
Who is this?
It's Al from California.
Oh, hey, how you doing?
All right. Hard to get a hold of you guys because it's 6 o'clock here.
Yeah,
it's 6:30 now.
It's early there. But if we did it any later, it'd be too late here. So.
Yeah, well, that happens. So what's happening this? What's going on?
Oh, nothing.
We're just
bitching about how expensive it is to shoot.
We're all doing the. I remember back in the old.
Yeah, except Jay, you get yours for free now. So shut up.
Yeah, well, you guys got to learn how to cash your own bullets. You know, lead's $1 a pound delivered to your door. Metal lady hates my ass.
You get all the lead you want. You just wait for cars to stop at the light. Yeah.
Not in California. They changed that. All those are zinc now. I have to order my shit from over in, like, Florida and shit.
Oh, they're zinc?
They don't
That's
do,
even better. If you steal enough of them, you can make a high point.
Then you can throw it at somebody.
Wow. Yeah, I noticed the wheel weights on my truck are not lead. They're not. There's some weird new thing. They're not those cast lead weights.
No, and when I melt my lead down just to keep the zinc and other nasty ass metals out, I only run it up to 750 degrees because that's about as high as lead and tin will melt. You don't want anything else in there, otherwise your bullets come out all wrinkly. They look like they're freaking 90 years old.
So they're frangibles then?
Yeah.
What?
Frangibles.
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 You said it in Texas.
They got all the cuts in them.
Yeah, that's right.
they're more deadlier.
Yeah, that's right. You
carve a little X in the top.
There you go.
I heard you guys talking about primers and, you know, about, I don't know, when primers were really, really hard to come by 6 months ago or so, Graft and Sons came up and they had a bunch of Wolf primers on. And I ordered 15,000 primers.
Yeah.
Across the board, I had small pistol, small rifle, and large pistol. Yeah. I already have enough large rifle.
Yeah, you gotta get them when you find them. Because
how do the wolf ones work? Not that you can get them anymore.
I've never had one not go bang. And I've ran through probably 10,000-15,000 of them over the last since 2008.
And by the way, for stingy business, if you get a primer that gets into the tray sideways and goes into the round, don't try to be a cheap bastard and try to pry that primer out with a dental pick, because the primers do indeed go bang.
No, I toss those. And when you get them in upside down, a lot of people say, you know, they'll dump oil on them and put them in water or whatever. It's like, just throw them through a freaking sizing die and slow and steady. They won't go bang. I put them in a vise just to see what would happen. And slow, steady pressure, you'll crush the thing. It'll never ignite.
What about if you hit it with a hammer?
No, they'll go bang then.
Whoops.
They go bang then.
That's, I was gonna say, you know, show of hands, how many people have not done the set off a primer in a vise with a nail and a hammer trick when they were a kid?
Yeah, and I've never done that. I did the dental pick douchebaggery, and that was all I needed.
What's the dental pick one?
No, I had the primer went in sideways, and I went, oh, I can get this thing out.
Oh.
Let me just pry it a little bit, and I'm like, oh, it's starting to go. It's starting to go. I just need a little more pressure. Bang!
I used to enjoy.
You didn't get any splatter when that happened, did you?
No, I just burnt my fingers.
Have you guys ever taken 12 gauge shotgun shells and reprimed them, and then take like a steely? And you remember the marbles and shit, and you had the steel balls, like ball bearings and shit. And you take that to the bottom of it, throw it up in the air, comes down,
oh,
they go pop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've seen that. That's pretty good.
Yeah, being a kid back in the '70s was pretty fun.
It's
nowadays
like
they'd probably take.
Yeah, they'd probably come arrest you or some bullshit.
Probably
terrorist acts. Yeah, yeah, you'd be a terrorist, definitely.
We would have BB gun wars. Remember the pump BB guns?
Oh yeah.
One pump.
One pump.
Yep.
And that one kid that pumped his up three times and you beat the living crap out of him, the whole group. Everybody knows that story.
Oh yeah.
We just got the whole version. Oh,
been there,
that
done
kid.
That, yeah. Sometimes I was that kid.
Did you get beat up, Alan?
No.
Nobody beats up the Marine.
Alan was the Scott Farkas of his neighborhood.
Who?
That reference either.
I am disappointed.
Yeah, I don't know that one. It's probably one I should know, too.
Is that Christmas Story?
Bingo!
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Been a long time. Yeah, it's been forever since I've watched that movie. I used to watch it.
You guys got any other? You guys got other callers on?
Yeah, we got somebody waiting. So
okay, pick them up. I'll listen to it around 9 o'clock my time.
All right, thanks for calling.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, and we have another caller. This one's in Pennsylvania. Oops. Well, it was. It went away.
Oh no! Call back.
Maybe it'll come back.
Wait. What?
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, hey, you are there. I lost.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right, awesome.
Who is this?
This is Andrew from the chat.
Oh, hey, Andrew.
Hey, I know that guy.
Hey. All right.
Thanks for calling.
You are welcome.
I know that dude.
So something that I fully intended to do this summer but didn't get around to.
Yes.
And it really stinks because of the reason why this didn't work out. Take my mother to the range.
Yeah. Aww. I meant to do that before I left Massachusetts and failed.
And now, what happened was she works for the school district, so, and I work weekends, so weekdays are the only days we can make it work. So summer is the only time we can really make it work. And the week before classes let out, this is the most bizarre thing. She slipped on a bottle cap running down the hall at the school she was at and basically broke her elbow.
Ooh. Ouch.
You know, that's why they tell you not to run in the halls.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's also workman's comp, so she should be all set.
Yeah, I mean, she's good. I mean, she's better. It's just we had it all planned out, and then, you know.
Yeah, with a broken elbow,
crashed,
you're not going to be shooting.
Crashed. Yeah. So, and unfortunately, now she's had time to, you know, think it over. So she's all scared of going again. So,
Well, you've got all year to work on her.
Yeah, that is true.
Tell her you've got an Uzi you can teach her how to shoot.
Ooh. Nine Sprecken.
That would be a bad idea.
Oh, man.
I still live with my folks, so that would be. What do you mean you have an Uzi? How did you get an Uzi in the house and we didn't know about it? Yeah, that would go over real well.
So you better keep the Uzi to yourself.
If it's Uzi, you might want to have a doctor check it out.
Just rub a little bag bomb on it. You'll be fine.
Right. Put some dirt on it and walk it off.
Yeah, a little butter. Put some butter on it.
Bag bomb. Bag bomb is my version of the My Big Fat Greek Wedding Windex. I love that stuff. It's designed for cow's udders. It's made in Vermont.
Well, then.
You can get it on Amazon, everybody. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, look up Bag Bomb on Amazon and order a tin of it for yourself, and it cures all that ails you. I especially like in the wintertime when it gets real dry. You put a little bit in your nostrils. It keeps everything getting all crusty.
I just use snuff. I just use like chapstick for that.
In your nostrils?
Yeah, you just rub a little on your, you know.
On your what?
rub a little on your nose, you know. But you can put it in other places besides your lips.
But you can't get it in your nose. No, I like to put it on a Q-tip.
Oh, you mean like on the inside?
Yeah. Because I get like really nasty nosebleeds in the wintertime.
Oh. Well, that's because you're up north where it gets freaking cold.
Yeah, you don't have cold down there.
No, we don't. It's not.
Even Jay has cold.
A cold winter day here is like when it gets down to 50.
Yeah. Oh, we got really cold. We got down to like single digits.
Yeah, we get down to single digits too, but there's a minus in front of them.
You get down to single digits, but it's, you know, October.
Oh, yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, you guys want cold. Oh, man. This past winter was absolutely brutal. And, I mean, we got snowstorms. I don't know about you guys. We got snowstorms like 2-3 a week, like multiple inches. And, oh, my gosh, the people in Philadelphia, when it starts snowing, they lose their freaking minds. I mean, it was – I work in a food store, so we were getting slammed, you know, 2-3 times a week. And I was thinking to myself, okay, this is snowpocalypse round 15. How the hell are you people not used to this yet?
Wow.
It's still like every snowstorm. Ermager! And Alan, you said you lived in Philly?
I worked there for about a year. Yeah.
Was it like this when you were here? Like a word snow enters the forecast and the people are like, oh my God, we're all going to die. Oh, get the bread and milk. Get the bread and milk. Ah!
Yeah, well, I don't know. You know, when I was there in 2006,
2007-ish. Yeah, we was a very mild winter.
Yeah,
nothing
really. In fact, everybody's like, oh, it's snow. Wait till it snows. Ha ha, Texas in the snow. Ha ha ha. And it never really snowed. I was like, eh, if this is the worst you got, eh. You know, I kept, because you
we,
got,
we,
you kept
we had
seeing
a couple
these,
of storms.
Yeah, go ahead.
We had a couple storms that were honest to goodness measured in feet.
Oh, yeah.
Like, well, you know, like, not like multiple feet, but, you know, 16
yeah,
inches,
year.
18 inches. Yeah, this past year, and we get maybe a foot total all winter. So, but I couldn't believe it. I was like, okay, this is storm 15. Why are you still freaking out? You've been able to get out of your house. You've been able to get to the stores. We were walking our dog, and oh my God, this one woman in a driving a car down a paved road. To her grandparents' her grandkids' house. I'm sorry, because they had heat. Like, was freaking out. Like, she rolled down her window and like started freaking out. Oh my God! It's the apocalypse! It's the end of the world! We're all gonna die! And we're just thinking, like, are you serious, lady? Oh,
why don't some of them die?
They should. Philly was
you and me both.
Philly was where we were in this restaurant talking about how much Philly sucks. And the waitress was like, yeah, well, and she was agreeing with everything. And we're like, I don't understand why people stay here. And she goes, you mean there's better places to live? And we just like lost it.
Oh, man.
Oh, like, my God.
Yeah. Anywhere except Detroit.
Yeah.
And Chicago.
Yeah.
Amen.
And Cleveland.
Yeah. Amen to that. And Jersey and California.
Yeah. Well, you know, actually Philly's better than any Jersey. I'm pretty sure
hell is actually better than Jersey.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Jersey's pretty.
Parts of
but
it.
The politics. Well, the Jersey Shore, let me rephrase that, is pretty, but the politics and the people suck.
They're crazy.
Jersey Shore isn't in that pretty. I'll argue against that.
Yeah, I'll take like Ocean City, Maryland over the Jersey Shore.
It's just a gigantic cat box. I'm sorry.
Then you got the pine barrens.
I don't get people's love of this sand shit. It's gross.
And then you got the pine barrens.
The pine barrens are kind of pretty.
Yeah, they're useful for hiding bodies.
And the Jersey Devil.
The Jersey Devil, it's a natural habitat.
Yep.
Hey, why hasn't anyone done like habitat conservation for the Jersey Devil?
I'm sure it's endangered.
I mean, when was the last time one was seen? I mean, that's seriously endangered.
Yeah.
That's way more than the northern right whale.
I thought he went out and got a contract in Hollywood. Oh, no, that's the Tasmanian devil. I'm sorry.
Yeah, different devil.
Wow, wow.
All right, man. Hey, thanks for calling,
well, Andrew. I've taken up enough of your time. Have a good night, guys.
Right. Bye. Thanks, Andrew.
Bye-bye.
Hey, man, last week we didn't get shit for callers. Now I know. We're getting callers up the ass. I love it.
We got a bunch of them.
I love callers.
And no breed. I guess she got lost or something. She was, well, she was not feeling good, and she was hungry. And yeah. And plus, you know, who wants to leave work and then go right into this?
Me. Because I do like 11 podcasts a week, so.
Yeah, you're like the podcast dude now.
I got a sickness.
You do.
And the healing fever is more cowbell.
You're doing no. Tell everyone which one you're doing now, and it's not because you do the Road Gunner one occasionally. You sit in on that one.
Yeah, I do the. I sit in occasionally on the Road Gunner. I sit in occasionally on the Handgun podcast.
Right.
But I am an official member of the Gun Blog Variety Cast,
which is
a bunch of gun bloggers. It's, you know, Miguel and Aaron and Barron's on there and Kevin Baker was on last week.
Ooh, I don't know if it was on this week. He was awesome in Flashdance.
He's cheating on our podcast? That bastard. Oh. There can only be one.
Well, cool, Weird. I hope you give us a nice plug when you're on those other ones.
I actually haven't.
You should.
I'll do that.
All right. And anyway, this one, gun blogger podcast is the Variety. What's the official title?
Gun Blog Variety Cast.
Okay. And where can they find it?
If they want to listen? It's got a website. It's Sean Sarantino's site. Okay. So, and I put links up every time the show goes live. So okay. Just go to my blog
and follow the links. If you can't figure it out from that, then you don't deserve to listen.
Yeah. I'm sure you can find it on iTunes.
Yep. We have another caller.
No.
Yeah, we do. Memphis, Tennessee, area code 865. Hello.
Hey, it's Dennis.
Hey, Dennis.
No way.
Wow, you've been traveling a lot lately.
I know that dude also.
That dude in Dallas.
It's Dennis, the traveling leather man. Oh, but that no, sounded the bad.
The traveling weatherman. Yeah, I still can't say why I was traveling, but this past weekend all last week I was out at the National Rib Cook-Off in Reno, wow. which was rather interesting, doing my leather work at the National Rib Cook-Off in Reno.
Holy shit! And I knew him when he was nothing. He hasn't changed
a bit.
That
sounds like an oddly appealing combination.
And it's Nevada, so folks I know, it's all guns, so folks are packing. So, you know, you walk into a casino and you see people gambling with guns on their hips.
Nice.
And nobody's getting shot.
Imagine that.
Okay. Imagine that. And if you were to do the same thing in New Jersey, okay.
The cops
would shoot
you.
Oh yeah, you'd be tackled, swatted, the whole nine yards.
Please tell me when you see someone open carrying that you give them your card.
What's that?
When you see someone open carrying in a casino or any place, you just give them your card. Hey, man, that's a nice
nylon sausage sack here.
You can get a whole lot nicer one from me, and it's not going to cost you that much.
I guess, it was an interesting summer. So I just, you know, I haven't been talking to you guys for what, about 2 months. So I just wanted to call in, say hello, and remind everybody to watch the new NCIS September 23rd.
Oh, did it get picked up?
Yes, it got picked up. NCIS New Orleans got picked up for a whole season. They ordered 23 episodes. And the first episode is September 23rd, right after the regular NCIS. NCIS New Orleans airs at 9 o'clock.
Oh, that's awesome. The world cannot live in a place where Scott Bakula is not currently on TV.
That's right. So are you making those cool holsters now?
Yes. They are available for sale. And in the past month and a half, I guess, I've sold 10 of them. They are very, very popular.
Cool.
The ones with the paddles,
yeah,
very
yeah.
popular.
Uh-huh.
So
that's actually, I need one of those. I'll
Well, you know what? Drop me an email and let me know what you want to do.
Okay.
For you, I'll put squirrel skin in it instead of crocodile.
Oh, nice. Squirrel skin.
Your holster can get that
pass. a squirrel skin paddle holster. There you go, dude.
Oh, God. I'll carry my barbecue gun in that.
It doesn't get any better than that. Anyway, I'm going to let you go so you can get another caller in before time's up.
Thanks for calling in.
You're welcome. Nice talking to you guys.
Bye, Dennis.
Thanks, Dennis.
Dennis, the leather worker to the stars.
Man, it's so cool that he's really taken off.
Yeah, that is.
Because I know a lot of people that had, like, you know, wild aspirations, and they just turned into sorrow and tears.
Well, Dennis didn't have wild aspirations as much as a fucking work ethic from hell. I mean, that guy just will not quit.
Nope. Well, he quit his other job.
Well, yeah, I know, but he decided he wanted to do this, and he fucking went and did it and just never quit and never, you know, he just kept plugging.
Hey, Jay, do you remember when he was a shy dude in the biker leather?
He's shy. I don't remember Dennis ever being shy.
No, that's true. So any more callers?
Not at the moment. 214-530-0036. So anyway, let's get around to our main topic, which was this ISIS thing.
Yeah.
Which apparently everybody on the planet has a strategy for dealing with ISIS, except for Obama.
Of course. Well, no, he's got a strategy.
Hollywood starlets.
It involves strategy. Sand wedge.
Have strategies for ISIS.
They live in the desert. Sand wedge.
I mean, come on.
You're putting it in terms that President Obama can understand.
It's mind-boggling.
I bet he doesn't understand it because I guarantee he's a shitty golfer.
Oh, yeah.
There's no way he's good at anything.
Well, here's the thing. As much as he played golf and as many people have paid attention to him playing golf, not once has anybody ever said anything about what he scores.
Yeah. He gets an 18 every time.
Never. Well,
he's like at my gun club, and I'm not saying this to disparage her and all of that, but, like, you know, my wife and I are fair weather sporting clay shooters. Is, you know, every so often we go, you know, not before the baby was born, of course, but you'd be like, let's go shoot around a sporting clays. Yeah, that'll be fun. You know, and we'd go out and shoot around a sporting clays. And every time we go, there's this woman here, and it, you know, the way everybody talks to her, it's like she's there every single week. And, you know, the first time we went, she was there and, you know, seemed fairly unfamiliar with her shotgun and all that. So we're like, okay, she's brand new at this and all that. And then, you know, the next time we go, she's there. And the next time we go, she's there. And the next time we go, et cetera, et cetera. And she's still scoring exactly the same. It's like, what are you doing wrong here? It's one of those, it seems like you're logging this every single week. You should be nasty good. But it just doesn't happen. And some people are like that. And it seems like President Obama's like that with golf. He's just in it to get away from mama.
Well, he likes to say he'll be heading to the golf course.
Oh, God. Beheading.
Oh,
that was bad.
I wonder if there's, like, if he ever talk about his golf game, if he'll have some, like, Kim Jong-il stories. I hit 15 holes in one.
The score is always 18.
Yeah.
Or sometimes it's 27.
Oh, man. But yeah, now here's my thing, is hearing all this ISIS stuff, and especially all, like, the crazy, like, them crucifying Christians and stuff like that, is I've got to wonder, since, you know, I'm a huge, you know, Dead Six fan, all I can think of is how long can this go on before a bunch of, like, fundamental types decide to, especially with all the, you know, all the military action that's been going on. So we've got all these veterans. How long before, like, you know, a wealthy, like, Christian fundamentalist suddenly decides to create something like Exodus, you know, a you know, super Christian oriented, like mercenary group that's just tied to them. That's just going to like go in and wipe out a bunch of them and never say a word.
I'd like to see him take on Westboro Baptist myself.
No, Westboro Baptist is just a lawyer group. Yeah, they're there for lawsuits.
Yeah, they'd fold like a cheap suit.
I'm actually thinking more like, you know, like LDS. LDS, there's a bunch of guys that all know how to shoot and are all good, and there's some wealthy members there. I can see them, you know, rounding up a bunch of people and getting a surplus plane and flying it in somewhere and sending some guys across the border.
Like the Expendables, but with Mormons.
Yes. The Expendables without as much drinking.
You know what? They'd call it a mission. Oh, shit. Hey, we got a caller.
Yay!
This is, I think it's in Arizona. Area code 602. Hello.
Hey, Alan.
Hey, it's Kevin.
It's Kevin. Yes, yeah. It is.
Kevin, all right.
I loved you in Tremors.
You're at the Gun Blogger Rendezvous.
Yes, I am, and we're pissed off that you're not here. Oh. We're all eating dinner right now, so we're all sitting around the table in a buffet.
Oh, okay.
So I thought I'd call in and pass the phone down, let everybody talk with their mouth full.
Oh, well, say hi to everyone for me.
So, hold on a second. Let me hand this down. Immediately to my room, Bill Quick of Daily Pundit.
Bill who? What?
Bill Quick of Daily Pundit.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Hi, Alan.
Hi, how you doing? This is you're live on the air with our squirrel report.
This call is being recorded.
Hi, Alan. This is Bill. Hi, Alan.
Hi. This is the most people calling into the show yet.
Hi, Alan. Engineering Johnson here.
Hi, how you doing?
All right. Hey, let me pass you on to Mr. Completely, the main guy.
Okay.
I know that dude.
Hi, Alan.
Hi, how you doing?
Mr.
Well,
Completely,
hanging in there.
All right. Yeah, we got Jay and Weird on the line here, too.
Oh, hey, that's cool. Yeah, we're feeding our faces right now in the buffet, eating a totally uncalled for amount of food. So let me put on Jennifer, a.k.a. Kiwi, and here's just...
You're better.
Hi, Alan.
Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing great. Wow.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear it. I'm the only girl here, so this is the only girl voice you're going to get. At least get someone that's speaking a bit here.
And I love the accent, too. it's funny because I've never actually heard your voice, and now I have.
That's good. Well, I'm going to pass the phone along here.
Okay. Thanks.
This is awesome.
Hi, Alan. Snarky Bites.
Hey.
Hey.
This is Keith from formerly Anthropology, now not Clausen.
Okay.
And next to me is Ken.
Hello.
And we've dropped
Hello.
The phone.
Hello.
Hey, this is Bill George with WGN Tactical, firearm manufacturer.
Oh, well, great. This is you're live on the air at the Squirrel Report.
Ah, sounds good.
Nobody knows that they're entering into a live radio.
Yeah,
show.
I know. You're just passing the phone around.
Well, I'll let you get back to the boss here, then.
All right, thanks.
All right, take care.
Oh.
We invited the NRA rep to go with us to dinner, but she took one look at us and ran screaming.
Oh, okay.
She's a smart girl.
That is pretty smart. Wow.
So
wicked smart.
So how many people are at the Gun Blogger Rendezvous this year?
Well, we got 10 people at dinner tonight. We should have a total of about 20 people attend.
Oh, that sounds good.
So not a bad turnout, but nowhere near our peak.
Well, that's because Bloggy's dead.
Well, no, Mike was sick, and he asked me to get involved, and I got tied up in my and personal ongoing stuff, so we didn't get quite as much preparation as we probably could have had, but
And then, you know, the economy and a lot of people working and so on and so forth. So.
Yep. That does it. Plus,
and blogging's dead.
Plus, you know, back to school this week or last week.
Yeah,
or
but
whatever.
We do this every year this time of year, so.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, well, my biggest disappointment is Molly Smith isn't here because she's off doing the European tour thing before she goes to college.
Aw.
I was going to say, because it's past her bedtime. No offense, Molly.
Well, thanks for calling in, Kevin, and thanks for passing the phone around. I think we just had more people on the call in on the Squirrel Report than we've ever had.
Ever.
Captive audience. I couldn't help it.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks, man.
Bye.
Thanks,
bye,
guys.
Oh, that was fun.
I got to attend the gun blogger rendezvous.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah. Sort of. Kind of. Oh, look, it's 9:05.
But before we go, we gotta express our sadness and condolences to Tam hanging it up.
Oh, she'll be back.
I hope so. I hope so.
And here I was thinking you were gonna say to Joan Rivers.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's too bad. Joan was. I gotta say, Joan and Gilbert Godfrey are two people that, you know. Growing up in the 80s and 90s, we're just like, what is the story with these people? Why are they so famous? And then when podcasting came around, suddenly I started hearing, you know, completely unedited, no bar, you know, no rules, no holds barred, you know, recordings of them where they could say whatever they wanted. And I went, holy shit, these people are cool.
Wasn't Joan Rivers the one that said that, what's her name, was a tranny? Michelle Obama?
Yes.
Possibly.
Well, her and many others. Yeah. And also you got to say it, one of Joan's last, you know, well-known things was her rage quit on that MSNBC reporter who was just,
yes, sure. That was good.
And that was awesome.
That was classic.
That was awesome. And that's how Joan Rivers should be remembered. I mean, it's all good that she was Dot Matrix and Spaceballs, but calling out an MSNBC reporter for just being an ignorant idiot, which is the prerequisite of being an MSNBC reporter.
Right.
Do you know anything? Yes. Sorry, it's not going to work out for you here.
Yeah, their IQ standards even lower than the police.
You're too smart to be a cop.
Yeah.
What about TSA?
That's even lower.
Oh man. Yeah, no. Actually, speaking of TSA, I got referenced on the road. Gunner Maverick did a little side bit where he talked about he went flying and went through the TSA, and just his son evidently had one of those credit card knives in his wallet and forgot that it was in there, and you know that's actually one of my big fears because I've got a little pocket knife on my keychain and I'm always terrified that one of these days I'm going to forget that it's there, and then the TSA are going to steal my CRKT Gakota.
Yep, they will too,
and they sure will, and they'll love it because it's a great little keychain that unfortunately CRKT doesn't make anymore, which really sucks. But the woman was going, see, you know, she first had to have him show her how to open the knife because she didn't know how to deploy the credit card knife. And then when she showed us, see, this can be used as an assault weapon. It's like, oh my God. My first word was, and you're an idiot. You're a dumb person. How smart do you think you are? Because it's definitely wrong.
Yep.
And all that. But he used when he got the nut grab, he used the patented weird beard line, which is, are there any sensitive parts on your body? And he said, only my Fourth Amendment rights.
Nice.
Which is, I got to say, is the best line to say because it's not an obnoxious shall not be infringed, but it's also saying, no, I'm well aware that you're breaking the law here.
Yep.
But I want to get on my plane, so I'll cooperate with you. But just so you know, you're an asshole.
Right.
See, I don't say anything. I just fart.
Wear a kilt.
Yeah. Well, that's Kelly got through the pat down because
He was wearing his kilt, and they were like, "Nah."
What are you wearing under it? He goes, "Well, it's a kilt. If I wore anything under it, it would just be a skirt."
Yeah.
And they just went, "You can go, sir.
You're free to go."
Nice.
We're not going to touch the Kelly Grayson peepee.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good stuff. But you also got to remember, just keep that mind. Keep the spank bank going in your head while you're going through. So at least you get a nice semi going.
Ugh.
Come on, the pat down is for the scanner is for their convenience, not for yours. So
that's
so,
true.
So you know, but if you get a nice semi, yeah, I have actually never had anyone that seemed to enjoy it even remotely. So that's because
I farted on them first. Whoa. A big smelly Italian guy walked through after eating chili.
Yeah, Jay has no sense of smell, so he doesn't realize.
He doesn't care.
Let me tell you, JG smells like a dumpster on a warm summer day, and that's after the shower.
because my cologne is Summer's Eve.
You can't let the dark people go through. They have souls. The Godfather was right. Even though the people in The Godfather were Italian, they didn't realize the irony of what they were saying.
Oh, man. All right. We got to end this train wreck.
Say goodnight, Alan.
Yep. Good night, everybody. We're done.
Bye, everybody.
All right.
Good night, Internet.
See y'all next week.